Amen. It's good to have all our musician team and singers and back with us, because we really miss them when they're not there. Amen. It's good to have them back with us and just all be together again. So, Lord, we do declare your glory, because you are a great God, an awesome God. Lord, you reign in all the earth. Lord, we look forward to that confident hope that, Lord, that one day will come when every knee shall bow. Every knee shall bow at the name of Jesus. So, Father God, we just pray and ask, Lord, we will go forward and have the boldness to speak forth your word, Father. Lord, and as your kingdom is added to, Lord, so that day will close in as people come to know you, as more people surrender their lives. But for us here, Lord, that we might stand strong in you, Father. Lord, that we will be the people that you want us to be, Father. We will be trees of righteousness and planted by your rivers, Lord. Lord, just drawing from that vast supply. So, Father, we just bless you this night in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Okay, just want to speak from Book of Corinthians tonight, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I've shared about this previously, said times back, and referred to it many times in other messages, but I feel in our Christian walk, we just often need to be reminded of our position in Christ, don't we? And the things that we need to be, the people that we need to be, the people that, thanks Hayden, that God wants us to be, that will continue to work, but most of all walk in God's ways and his principles. But we need to be constantly reminded, don't we? I feel about that. And even this morning we heard a powerful prophetic word of, you know, how we are to take our position as men of God, men of the household, to take our position in the things of God. And as a man, if we stand up and do that, so the woman will come closer, she will draw closer to the man, to the husband, to the leader. And so, you know, things will work together, so the others will follow. And but we were reminded of that again, and our pastor brought a powerful message this morning, and of how we need to have that affirmation of, you know, to be strong and positive in our word. When we say yes, let it be yes, and if it's a no, well, it's a no. And pastor spoke at length about that this morning, and in a very passionate, powerful way. But that's the sort of thing, that's the people that God wants us to be, isn't it, about that. In Corinthians chapter 3, we just see here how the Apostle Paul, he adapts his message so that the hearers of that time, of that day, were better able to understand the message that he was bringing to them. And as it was then, and even today, quite often we have to adapt a different way of bringing God's word, don't we? We talk to different groups of people. They might be kids, they might be young adults and that, or we go to the nursing home where people are not able to communicate. But so we adapt the way we present the gospel, the way we speak. But the message is still the same. The message never differs. We differ in the way we may present it or bring a message, but the message remains the same, is that, you know, that we tell all who will hear, all who have ears to hear, well, we speak forth. And so that happens. So we do that, and bringing the good news of the gospel and the testimony of what Jesus Christ has done in our lives. Why? So that it becomes relevant to other people. And we want to be able to communicate that message well and confidently, so that these people will say, hey, I'd like to be a part of that. I want to be a part of this kingdom that you're talking about. I want to know Jesus more. And so we do that, but, you know, we do it in many different ways, but always with the same message that people need God, don't they? Everyone needs God in their life. But I've said before, I think there's a bit of God. Well, there is God in everyone, because he's our creator. But people need to come to that realization, don't they, of having Jesus Christ in their lives. And so we do that. So the way we deliver the message may vary, and it may be presented in many different ways, but the message we bring never changes. Amen? So as we do that, we pride ourselves in that, and that's been a strength of this church here, that we, as pastors and teachers and leaders in all our groups, our home groups, we take a great pride that we know, we have that confidence that all our leaders, they speak the truth, they speak the word in truth and present it in a really, really great way. And so we are confident that people do that, and we get inspired because it's the word of God, and it's not watered down in any way to suit a situation, but it's always presented in the truth because it's God's word. And so we take pride in that's the strength of this church, that, you know, we are Bible-based preaching, and it is always, it comes from the word of God. It's not just all of us, but it's all of God's word. We draw from the living word, don't we? We all do that. This is where our strength comes from. Our hope is in you, Lord. And so we draw upon God's word. We get inspired by that. And as we look into the word, you know, thoughts come, ideas come, you know, what I can say, what we can do. So we draw inspiration. But, you know, it all comes from the word of God. You know, we can all think up some really wonderful things and have all these thoughts and sayings that mean a whole lot of nothing. But it has to come from the word of God, doesn't it? Excuse me, but as I said, quite often we just need to simplify, and we do that at different times. The message we bring, and in order that it's, you know, it can be understood. Why? Because the hearer has not got the spiritual understanding or the spiritual maturity to comprehend or understand what we're about, do they? Why? Because they haven't got the Spirit of God in them, have they? So they don't understand. Why did Jesus speak in parables? Anyone got any thoughts? Why did Jesus teach in parables? Yeah, people didn't understand. You know, he used so many examples, you know, about using new wineskins and, you know, about the harvest fields and so many, many, many illustrations. You look, they're all in the four Gospels. So the apostles highlight that so much, the way Jesus taught. And they even, I think in one part there, they even spoke to Jesus and they said, Lord, why do you teach in parables? But he was able to tell them, you know, that so people might understand. We use illustrations. We do that, you know, with a PowerPoint. We use aids so that people are able to get a better understanding. You know, we use all the available means, don't we, of trying to communicate the gospel not so much a new way, but a way that it's interesting, that people enjoy what's going on around them, that it doesn't become a boring thing or that. So it's presented in many different ways. And as we know, that's why Jesus just related to so many things around him, so people could get the feel of what he was talking about and understand the word and where that spiritual understanding lacked. Jesus was able to bring the physical understanding into people's lives. So they got the message in, and as they heard it, it became relevant to their surroundings, to their own lives. And so they're able to understand and hear and understand what the Lord and what the apostles and all the early teachers were speaking about. And so that's how they're able to come to Christ. And so that's how we just need to be relevant all in all our endeavours to outreach to people. So it, so we've, you know, but it's not until the Spirit enters in that a person, well, I think Pastor referred that this morning, didn't you? I think, about it's not until the Spirit of God enters in that, you know, the veil is lifted, that people can, you know, have a tunnel vision. But once that Spirit enters into a person's heart, that and our spirits become entwined and joined together, you know, there's a whole new revelation takes place, and people can get that that real Christ-like encouragement into their hearts and spirits. So we do that. But as we grow and mature in our walk with God, so does our spiritual understanding, doesn't it? We know that so much in our own walks. You know, once we were babies, but now we've grown up, we've come along that path of progression, and we've learned to come to a higher spiritual level, haven't we? As we grow older, as we grow in the things of God. That's what it's all about. So, we can get old and still not grow into things of God if we don't open have our spiritual eyes open. But if we're prepared to grow in the things of God, take on all the things of God, so we grow in that spiritual maturity. We have a better spiritual understanding, and that's when the wisdom of God starts to come into us, isn't it? We're able to operate better as people and as Christians. So, so this is the whole encouragement of the gospel, isn't it? That as we grow to maturity, so that we will have that understanding of what it is to stand in the Lord, to stand strong in the Lord. We need to have that understanding, don't we? And when we have that, we are able to stand, because we know you can weather a few storms. You know, you can get buffeted around, you can get shaken, but as that spiritual understanding and strength comes upon us, you know, we're able to absorb the shocks of life when things the enemy come up against us. So we do that. We learn to stand strong, so that we will not be shaken. God wants us to be trees of righteousness, that we're not going to be blown this way, that way, that we're going to have our roots planted firmly down, and we're going to be able to stand strong. And even though we get blown about, we'll sway in the wind or whatever, but, you know, we're not going to be blown off our feet, are we? Because, you know, the things of God have become stronger in our lives and our walk, so that we will not be shaken, so that we will grow in the Lord, and so that we will obtain the wisdom, and so that and as we do that, we're not going to pervert the word of God. We're going to really stand on it, claim on it, speak it, preach it, whatever, tell it to those who don't know Jesus at this point. You know, we'll be able to be so much more effective in our walk. But so that there's many, many reasons, aren't there, why it's important that we walk in the truth of the word, that we walk in the truth of the word. That's what it's all about, isn't it? We might know the word, and we might have the Spirit of God in us, but if we're not walking, if we're not having that daily walk with God, and communicating with him and being the people that God wants us to be, that's when we're going to come up against a few problems, aren't we? Because you know, to have that spiritual understanding that it speaks about in chapter 2, verse 14 of Corinthians there. Speaks there about a man without spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. But people who aren't Christians can't understand these truths from God's Spirit. Because why? It says here, it all sounds foolish to them, because only those who have the Spirit can understand what the Spirit means. And you've probably experienced that a lot in testifying to people. When you're speaking about your faith and you start testifying and sharing, people get a bit of a strange look and start scratching their heads and wonder where you're at and where you're coming from, don't they? But they just don't understand, because they haven't yet got the Spirit in them. And Pastor referred that this morning, you know, about, you know, that one day that person might come to Christ. So we need to have that understanding there. And it goes on to say, for they are foolishness to him, and because, you know, they can't understand. So in this passage of chapter 3, I feel what Paul is saying in his opening address there is, he said, before, when I was with you, he said, I only spoke to you as a baby. He said, I only gave you the little bitty stuff. I didn't give you the full, he gave the truth of the gospel, but he didn't give that in-depth teaching, because they weren't ready to receive it. They couldn't understand it. And so he had to come back to us again. I said that at the beginning of the message, you know, that every now and again we have to be reminded of, you know, where we are, what God wants, what God expects of us. And it's because it's not that we don't know, it's not that we don't understand. I think we become lazy, we become complacent, don't we? And we, the old saying, she'll be right, mate, but it won't be right, mate. Because, you know, when we neglect the things of God, you know, so our life and things around us don't go well for us, don't they? When we're walking full on with God, when we're standing in his strength and just claiming his everyday promises, looking to him and saying, Lord, I know you are there. And having that, you know, we can walk confidently in the things of God. So we do that there. This is why the Apostle Paul, he says, you were still in the infant stages and you couldn't understand. He said, I gave you only what you could digest. And if he probably, it's the old saying, if we have too much to eat, we get a bit, it makes us feel unwell. But the apostle there, he just said, I only gave you what you could take in and understand at that level, you know, there. And as we see in all of Paul's letters, that was he spent a lot of time, I feel, writing letters to the early believers and bringing encouragement and words of reminder of, you know, how they were to stand, how do they keep pursuing their faith and following in the teachings and not to be thrown around and all that sort of thing. But Paul got to the place and he said, well, it's time to grow up. And he came back to them again personally. He said, I wrote your letters, but now I've come back again and I want to tell you face to face. And he said, this time I'm going to lay it all out and you're going to get a bit of, you know, the 1, 2, 3. And so Paul laid it all out again to him in the word here. And he said, and now I've come back again to go over it with you, because you are still not ready. It says that in verse 3. For you are still controlled by what? By your own sinful desires. You are jealous of one another and quarrel with each other. And he says, doesn't that prove that you are controlled by your own desires? You are acting like people who don't belong to God, to the Lord. And so Paul, he had to reinforce the whole message of faith and what it meant to be a child of God. But here they regressed to their old ways and they weren't being the people that that God wanted them to be. And so we see there the apostle just coming back again and bringing that reassurance and say, hey, get your feet back on the ground, get back on track, get back in line with the things of God, and get back walking in his way, stand firm and to be the people that God's want us you to be. He's saying there, you know, don't worry about all these little side issues. Don't let them control your life. Don't let your old sinful nature take over. And that happens a lot to us, don't we? We regress when we're not in fellowship with God, when we fall back, when we step back or take a couple of steps back, when we're not having regular fellowship or whatever. And this affects our spiritual walk so much. So it's a continual thing for each one of us, isn't it? It's hard work. We have to work hard to stay in tune with God, and not to let the world take over, because the world's ready to consume us, isn't it? If the world wants us, it's just screaming out for us all the time. But so the apostle there, he just laid all these things out. He said, "You've allowed your human weakness and carnal minds to get in the way. You do disgressed back to the old way of life, and this has caused division and your fellow believers to stumble. You've caused problems." He said, put all these things aside. Come back to where you started off. Come back to your first love and get back in tune. And so that was the encouragement that the apostle brought there to the believers of the time. But he also went on to encourage them about the unity and about in Jesus Christ, just what it means that we are co-laborers. We are all a part of this cog. We're all a part of what takes place, and so we're all equal, we're all co-workers, and doing the things that God wants us to be. And if we are in unicism, is that the right word? Unism, or whatever, doing things together, that's when things will go well. But if we're disjointed, as we know, things just don't work out too good at all. So the apostle he just continually brought that message to the early believers. But I feel out of this chapter here, there's probably four things that come out there that, you know, that we might need to take notice of. And the four things are, one is about maturity, that we grow in maturity. The second one is about harvesting, and we want to do that. We want to see a lot of that. The third one is about building, and we're continually on about that all the time, about building the kingdom of God. It's not about building this building. It's about building the kingdom of God. And then as we do that, as we know, the scripture says, as we go about God's business, things will be added unto, won't they? Because the God will there. But the fourth point is about glorifying God, about worshipping God, about putting God and keeping God in his rightful place, that he is Lord of all and Lord of our lives. And as he is that, we just need to be the Lord's people and to be called a person of the Lord. Well, we want to be strong men and women, don't we? So we need to grow in every way, and that's we'll hear a lot about that this year, about grow church, about growing in the things of God, because as we grow, as we mature, you know, people gravitate or should gravitate to us more and more, because they will see, they will know that we are strong people, we're strong Christians, and we're not all over the place, that we're on track, we're going in the one direction. We're all working together and bringing and linking in and doing the things that God wants us to be. But we never outgrow the nourishing milk of the Word, do we? Because the Word is always good. 1 Peter 2:2 says, "But we cannot grow strong unless we also have solid food." But the milk is nourishment, isn't it? Just look at a little baby. It just thrives on that. Even Ross's calves, you know, they get on their mothers and you can see them filling out every day. You know, it's good tucker. And there's nothing like the natural that God's inbuilt into the cycle of life and the way he's designed it to be. But we know by eating and exercising, it takes both, doesn't it? You know, to get that strength, to grow, and there. Now I think I said there, but we need to grow to become these mature people. God wants us to be mature, and as I said, age is no guarantee to spiritual maturity, is it? Quite often you see some people have been in the Lord all their life and yet, you know, they haven't really grown up. And that's really tragic, isn't it? It's sad to see that, you know, some people you think, you know, you're just not going on. And we want to see people go on, don't we, to inflict their love for God on other people. So that's what it's all about in this growing, this maturing, coming of age in the things of God. We want to be harvesters, the people who are part of the great harvest. You know, Jesus said, "Go into all the world." We want to be a part of all that, sowing in the Word of God and watering the Word of God as we sow into other ministries beyond Westfire. Grow church. we want to sow in, don't we? Like we do in the Philippines and other things that we support at different times and ministry and other places. We want to see, we want to make a difference, don't we? And we want to see that harvest come to completion and see that every day, one day, every knee will bow. And that's the heart of all believers, I'm sure. So we see here that everyone has a place in the Lord's harvest. Everyone, not just a few. Everyone. Every one of us who are believers. And everyone here tonight is. We all have a place. We are all able to reap and sow and reap and gather in the things of God. And also the other point about building. Paul writes about the local church and the materials we put in as we minister. We do that. In Proverbs, it says a little bit here. In Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 to 5. "My child, listen to me and treasure my instructions. Tune your ears to wisdom and concentrate on understanding. Cry out for insight and understanding. Search for them as you would for lost money or hidden treasure. Then you will understand what it means to fear the Lord and you will gain knowledge of God." So there it speaks about all this gathering, the reaping, the things that we have to build in and use in ministry, in reaching out to others. All these God-given gifts, these things that God sown into us that we can reproduce and reach into other people's lives. And the last point there, as I spoke about, is about glorifying God. God wants our heart, he wants our worship, amen? And as we've said and we've heard many times, you know, that it's a sacrifice of praise that we give everything back to God because God has given us his best, amen? And so we need to honour God, have him in the rightful place, honour and lift Jesus high at all occasions, you know, because what we've seen here, that was part of why Paul was going back, because the Corinthian believers, they glorified in the human teaching a lot, you know. They were looking to this one, they were looking to that one, saying, I like him, I like that one. But we are co-workers. We don't, as pastors, we don't exalt one another. We all bring the word of God. We are not in the business of competing against each other who's bringing the best message. But we're concerned about is bringing the word of God. And God uses, from each one of us who speak from the platform, we all add a new dimension. We bring a new flavour. But it's always the word of God, isn't it? It's like the box of Smarties. They're all different colours. But that all comes from the one box. And so everything we preach and teach is from the word of God. And this is what it's about, this glorifying God, using God's gift, his word, to reach out and to bring others to come to know him. That we don't glorify in ourselves, but in the things of God. As the word, it says, let no one boast in men. Because, you know, and it's not a command, it's a command. It's not a suggestion, you know. We're not to boast in that way. But I think the key verse here in this whole of chapter 3, it just brings out one of these timely reminders. It's a couple of those verses that are here where, you know, the scripture just sort of stops and says, hey, this is what you are. And it says in Corinthians there in chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. I think it's a reminder to us all again of what type of people, the people who we are in God. It says here in verse 16 of chapter 3, don't you realise that all of you together are the temple of God? All of us together, we're part of the temple of God. And that the Spirit of God lives in us. It lives in you. It lives in each one of us. And again, a very strong warning in verse 17. It says, God will bring ruin upon anyone who ruins this temple. For God's temple is holy, and you Christians are that temple. That's a strong word, isn't it? And I think I'll close there. But again, you know, like I said, the apostles, they were always bringing to us the encouragement, the reminder of God's word and the people that God wants us to be. And so again tonight, we bring that word for us that, you know, that we just keep our sights set on the things of God and make Jesus Christ Lord of our lives, that he is the focus and the one that we look to, who will give us strength, who will give us hope, who will be our courage, he'll be our protector, he'll be our shield, he will be our everything. He has given us the comforter in the form of the Holy Spirit, and as the Lord says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And that's the most wonderful promise that we could have. That's it again, but, you know, again, just be reminded of who we are. We are the temple of God, and God's Spirit dwells in us all. Amen? Amen. Lord, we just bless you and thank you for your word. Lord, that so many, many times throughout your word, Lord, where you encourage and you bring a reminder of the people that you want us to be, Father. Lord, that we will walk in your ways. We'll look to you, Lord. We'll see you as Lord of our lives, Father God. Lord Jesus, we know that you are there, that you are Lord and Lord of all. You suffered for each one of us. You died and you rose again victorious. And you gave us that promise of eternal life as we put our hope and trust in you. So, Lord, for every one of us here tonight, Lord, Lord, let us go into this coming week with hope and the encouragement, Lord. Lord, that your spirit is within us. And, Lord, we will stand strong. And, Lord, that we won't bring shame upon you, Lord, by defiling the spirit that is within us. So, Lord, we just ask you now to bless us as we bless you and take us to our homes in safety and for throughout the coming week until we meet again in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.